Wow, it is such a the aroma and the fragrance and the presence in this place is overwhelming. It's really beautiful. And sitting back there with those and with all the kids, I just wanted to play with everybody back there. And then I kept remembering, oh yeah, I'm going to speak. But seriously, like I am so filled right now. This is a beautiful, beautiful family. And yeah, it's a privilege to be asked to be here. House of Hesed has been going 20 years now. And God, I joke that every month is like the fish and the loaves. Somehow he multiplies the money that comes in, and I am absolutely overwhelmed and God-smacked by his faithfulness and the way that he extravagantly pours into that ministry. And because he pours in so generously, we are able to pour out. And so yeah, I'm going to try to be in line with the PowerPoint, but I don't do that very well. So forgive me if I go off on tangents, because actually, I'm more interested in what God wants to say to you and to not be shackled. but we'll see what he does. So anyway, we can kind of start the first slide, I guess. So that's me back in the day when I had more hair and, you know, less whatever. But anyway, yes, my friend died in 92 of AIDS. And when that happened, I started looking for ministries back, you know, like he was in Vancouver and I was actually with him when he took his last breath. He was in his own home surrounded by his loved ones. And, you know, it was a beautiful transition from here to eternal life. So when I came back to Winnipeg, I started looking around for ministries that were serving the HIV community, and there were none. There was absolutely no churches involved in at the time. There were no medications. People got the diagnosis, and usually within a year, they had succumbed to the disease. After I started working and volunteering in the AIDS service area, I started to realize that a lot of those people, I believe, were dying because of lack of hope. There was despair. They were languishing in hospitals because they had nowhere to go to convalesce. Some people were living in deplorable rooming houses where the conditions, I'm not even kidding, I wouldn't let my dog stay there. And so through one of my volunteer services, I got a firsthand look at how people with HIV/AIDS were living in our city in 1996 is when I started volunteering. So yeah, I don't know what the next slide is. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Lord, I'm on track. So what happened was I started realizing that people should not be living like that. People should not be left to languish in a hospital because there was nowhere for them to go to be loved and cared for and supported back to health. What's the next slide? I don't know. Okay, so yes. What happened was I attended a conference called The Fragrance of Justice way back when with Jackie Pollinger. Yeah, it was a four-day conference, and after that conference, I was on my face in my living room, and I just said, God, what can I do? Because, you know, I'd come back from visiting these people that I was serving and leaving them in the hospital and in these ugly rooming houses, and I just felt like I didn't know what to do. So after that conference, I prayed, and God so clearly said to start a house. And you know, that was kind of crazy because I had no reputation, I had no money, I didn't know anybody with money, but I'm not gonna say no to God. And he was very specific I wrote down what he told me, and then I just started going out and telling everybody what God had said to me for me to do. At which point, long story short, I met a phenomenal couple named Herb and Erna Buller. That might be the next slide, I don't know. Ah, oh my goodness, God, you're so good. He's keeping me on track, because I have no idea. Anyway, so Herb and Erna Buller bought that house for us on Langside. So within a year from God giving me the vision and the instruction to start a house, we had this house fully renovated. It was beautiful. I can't even tell you the stumbling blocks and the craters that God removed from our path and just let us, we had favor with the city, we had favor with our neighbors. People were terrified of AIDS back then. And one of our neighbors at this house actually said, we want you to burn your garbage. You know, if this thing that you're trying to do doesn't work, no one is ever going to buy that house or want to live in it. And so what we did, we sat down with that couple that lived next door, and we tried to educate them and to dispel their fears. And you know what? A couple years later, after we sold the house, that couple bought the house. So God is pretty amazing. So, that's our first home, and we had room for 6 residents in that house and 1 live-in staff person. I would say within a year of opening, we had outgrown it incredibly. We were squished in there, and at that time, in 97, 98, we were doing a lot of in-home palliative care, which means we were literally taking care of people dying, and none of us were medical. None of us were nurses or anything. It was all God. We saw miracle after miracle after miracle of healing. The medical community that we worked with were gobsmacked. They had no idea what was going on because they were sending people to us to die, and these people were getting better without any medical intervention at all. And there's the medical community, we still work with many that we worked with back then, and they're still like, well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We have nothing medically that we can do for this person, but send them to Hesed, who knows? And we still see it today, so it's pretty awesome. So we can just move to the next slide. So that's our new house. It's a mansion. That how we got that house and the journey that it took from Langside to that house is a miracle in itself and would probably take me an hour to tell you about. But it was a miracle that we got it. And this house has room for 10 residents. And we still have 1 live-in volunteer staff person. It's such a beautiful house. What a blessing. Like, what a God gift. It's amazing to me. Anyway, next slide, please. So this is Hesed, what we're trying to do. You know, we talked about it during prayer this morning. Hesed is God's love. We can't describe it, but, you know, we try in our human frailty to put that into words. But really what is important is that it's an action word, and we are to serve out of the love that God gives us. And God gave me the name for the ministry. That's another miracle story that I could just talk on that for 45 minutes to an hour. But that's what he instructed us to do at the beginning. Love them, just love them, just love them, just love them. And for me, it's extremely easy to love, love, love. It's not always easy to like the decisions some of us make and the life choices we make, but love, love, love is consistent and true, and it's what we do. So that's remained the same. We can go to the next slide. Yes, same, our mission then was to provide a home, the same mission 20 years later. And what we try to do is meet each individual that comes to us at their needs. We do anything from, if someone came and they needed palliative care, we would continue to do that, just like we did 20 years ago. Some people need to stay with us for a very short period of time because they've just had the diagnosis, they're in shock, they're trying to get reestablished, and so they might not need a lot of support. Other people still require 24-hour support from us. So, it's what we still do. We can move on to the next slide. Our mission statement. We have some stuff, handouts at the back, so you can read that more in depth if you want. Core values. Yeah. So it's 115 people, but some people have come back more than once. they leave for whatever reason, they get sick, and they come back, and then they get better, and they go back into the world, or they pass away. So 115 to date. Our referrals still come from the medical community, mental health. We've gotten referrals from out of province, and so they come from all over the place. And really, that's the ultimate goal, is to partner with them and journey with them into getting back into independent living. It's not always possible for everyone, and the options for housing on their budget is not good. We want them to go back to someplace that's healthy and safe for them. Doesn't always work out that way, but that is our desire for the people that come to HESED. So we do have 24-hour staff, and again, the personal care, what we want to do is meet each individual at their needs. So whatever they need, we, to the best of our ability, will try to support them in what they need. Yeah, we're definitely a home. We're a family with all its warts and everything. it's awesome. It's awesome. We had permission to video these bedrooms. Yeah, the most popular room in the house with the big TV close to the smoking porch and the kitchen. Oh, handsome, handsome. Yeah. Yeah, we loved when, we were so blessed to have Ken there. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So everybody loves hanging out on that porch because they can smoke out there and, it's screened in. It's not really protected from all the elements, but they still go out there at minus 40. So. This is very true. A lot of times people just want to share their story and they don't want us to try to fix it for them. They just want us to hear. We pray, we offer prayer all the time. I learned way back when that I'm not the fixer. They just want to share their heart sometimes and their struggles, and they don't always want me to tell them what they should be doing. So that's very true. Oh, the 20 years. So a lot of the people in the slides have passed away. So I always get a little emotional when I see, because each one has such a profound impact on me, and their stories come flooding back to me. This fellow, he had a brain tumor. And it was just an absolutely horrific situation for him, and we had to learn a lot about cancer and brain tumors. So I might add that people that come to us have HIV in common, but we are all so complex, and we all have layers and layers, each one of us, and it's the same for our residents. There's been a few people with cancer and diabetes and all kinds of different things. And our Ellie, yeah, anyway, we can move on. So the numbers of HIV/AIDS are actually growing. Manitoba and Saskatchewan Saskatchewan put out a state of emergency last year. 2 years in a row, I believe they did that because the numbers are growing so quickly. Just the other day, there was a UN report saying that they're raising red flags because HIV, despite their best efforts, is still on the rise. It has gotten controlled in some countries, but it's not going away. It's alive and well and still infecting people and altering people's lives. This is why I really appreciate this opportunity to educate as well. So, next. This people group actually had, you know, the numbers had decreased quite substantially, but now those numbers are on the rise as well. Because we all know in the beginning it affected the gay community mostly, but now it's every walk of life. The youngest person we've ever had is 19, the oldest is 67. There is no one people group that this disease is affecting. We see people from every walk of life. The fastest growing group numbers are in women, straight women over the age of 50. Those are the new infections that they're seeing, newly diagnosed. We can just move on. So this is very alarming to me because there's certain people groups that think they have no risk. And I'm not gonna speak as freely as I would normally because I see little bambinos in the room, but people that feel like they're not at risk will often engage in extremely risky behavior without even thinking that there might be consequences. So in my personal opinion, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I think this is the reason that the numbers are starting to explode again, because HIV/AIDS is not on anyone's radar. No one thinks about it. It's free love. We all have free choices to do whatever we want. And so those numbers are rising. There's also still to this day the belief in the lie that, oh, it's in the gay community, it won't affect me, I don't use needles, I'm not this, I'm not that. But guess what? It can affect all of us. And like I said, the people we serve today are from all walks of life. We have quite a few people, women in their 50s with us. And so this is a huge concern to me because they won't get tested. They're not gonna go to the doctor and check because they don't think they should. They don't need to. So in the meantime, other people are being infected. So we can just, yeah. So we live under the miracle provision of God every day. I was joking that we're hemorrhaging money this past month because we have a huge house, lots of people using our stuff, and it was like every day something was broken or breaking. But I used to lay awake and worry about that stuff. And I can say, even though I'm aware of the miracle that happens when God pays our bills, but I know I don't need to lay awake and worry about it anymore because I can trust him. We definitely pray. But I know it's not me that holds the purse strings, so I'm not as fearful as I used to be. So, yeah, a lot of fundraising, which is Julia will be sharing with you in a little bit. We don't often get invited to speak anymore. And back in the day, I was like sharing at churches at least once a month. But again, like I said, I think that whole thing about HIV/AIDS is no one's interested anymore. I hear a lot of talk about refugees and immigrants, and the truth is we serve them as well. We serve the homeless, the drug addicts, the refugees. So we kind of, we're this little microcosm of all these different people groups that we serve. Oh, the dinner theater, so much fun. So this is one of our main sources of income. We do a dinner theater. We just celebrated our 10th year. Well, we did our 11th show this year. And it's awesome. This year we made $51,000. We did six shows. We sell out. Larry, you've been to almost every one. It's a lot of fun, but it's a huge venue for us to raise awareness and to promote the ministry as well. So that's a lot of fun. Yep, so Julia will talk a little bit more about that. But we have really, really fun fundraisers. We always put the fun in fundraiser. So really, we want them to be fun and informative and relaxing and all that stuff. So thank you for inviting us. We're a little bit orphaned, but that's okay. So these are just some ways to volunteer. We have a volunteer sign-up sheet at the back there, so you can look at that more closely if you think that's something you might want to do. Your prayers are highly, highly valued. I can't even tell you how much we appreciate that. It keeps us standing for sure. Well, I have to put this in because, like I said, HIV/AIDS is not funny, but a cat in pajamas is. So I love this picture so much because it always just makes, is that the cutest picture ever? Like, that cat loved those pajamas. Anyway, I have to end on that note because it's so beautiful. Now Julia is just going to share a bit with you. Julia is our new fundraiser, and we're okay for time. Okay. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you,
Mom. Thank
you. Hello. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to hold it. I'll be really, really fast. Okay. So, my name is Julia, and I'm actually new to Winnipeg. I'm from Calgary. But I came here. God gave me the job at House of Hesed. Thank you. And so I started as a resident care worker. Oh, I'm so sorry. Resident care worker. So, resident care worker. And what that looks like is making meals for residents. Often, actually, I talk residents into helping me make meals, which is pretty fun. I do meds, complete chores, and whenever I have time, I'm very intentional to spend that extra time with residents, because honestly, they are the number one. Well, they're the reason that we're there. And so I love spending that time. What that time looks like is, Mo was saying that, yeah, we have refugees, immigrants, and so one of our residents, she is from Tanzania, and so she doesn't like Canadian food. So often she will make dinner by herself later after we all eat dinner. And whenever she's eating, I'll go sit down. and I'll talk with her, but she is fluent in French and Swahili, and she's not fluent in English. And so often it's quite fragmented, our conversation, and it's quite slow, but the time I get to spend with her is so valuable. Maybe I should move this away from my mouth. Can you still hear me? Sorry. No, it's totally fine. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I should just do it, but... yeah, often it's quite fragmented and slow, but it's such valuable time that I get to spend with her. And through that, I've gotten to hear her story. She fled abuse in Tanzania, and I've met her daughter, who also fled abuse. And so it's the stories are hard, but it's so beautiful. And I've also, yeah, through that, learned how much life House of Hesed has given her, has restored to her. The time that I spend with residents also looks like sitting on our visitor's lounge couch, which you saw, and watching TV with one of our residents. But it's not much actually watching TV. Once I sit down, I'll watch a few seconds, but then there come the stories. And so this is what I love. Like, I'm not going to watch TV. I'm going to talk with my resident. And so, yeah, he has so many stories. Stories from that day, stories from that week, and stories from years past. I remember one time he told me, and I could tell, like, you know, when someone's heart is fluttering, and I could tell that something was going on. And he said, my sister called me today. She told me there's a family emergency, but I don't know her number, and I'm just waiting for her to call back. I said, well, you need to call. So with his permission, I went through his call display, found her number, and I sat with him as he called her, and she told him his adopted brother, had died. His adopted brother was a heavy drinker. And so, unfortunately, his family lives in the East Coast, so he wasn't able to be at the funeral. He wasn't able to see his family upon hearing this news. But I believe Isaiah 55 says that the Lord's word does not return void. And I believe that the same with the time that I spend with my residents. So Isaiah 55 says, it's the same with my word. I send it out, and it will always produce fruit. I will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And yeah, I speak that over Hesed. I believe that we are intercession for lots of people who have not and would not otherwise be amongst the love of the Lord, the love of the Father. Yeah, and it's so beautiful. So Mo said that I would talk about money things, but I'm not really going to talk about money things. I am the fundraiser, so what I do is I write grants. I care for our donors, which is hard because I'm only one person, and I only do 10 hours a week. But I do care for our donors, and I plan events, which hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. So I just want to, yeah. Yeah, it's a great place to be. I just wanted to thank you. You guys have a beautiful congregation, beautiful things going on. I love all of the praying. Wow. Yeah, so I just wanted to say our supporters, whether it's financially, spiritually, or physically, are so indispensable to our body. We cannot move without you. We cannot breathe, and we cannot love without you. So you guys are all supporters, and yeah, I just want to thank you. It's such an honor to be here. Yeah. So one of Mo's verses for Hesed is 2 Corinthians 2 and 3. Wait, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. okay, so, and this is for all of us. This is for the body. You guys are part of the body. We're all part of the body. It says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I just want to thank you guys again. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you, Moen and Julia. Just looking at the pictures, Ali was a dear friend of mine. We became really good friends, and before he passed away, got really sick, he gave me the Sound of Music DVD, so we love that DVD. We play it, and we think of Ali and he had a huge, extravagant heart. And so if you ever feel like you want to volunteer or support this ministry or go visit or bring food or encouragement, this is a ministry that would receive it. Oftentimes when I worked, I was a resident care worker too, and a family would come and cook a meal. There was one family who I think did Thanksgiving meals every year. The whole family, kids, everything would come, and that was just their ministry. It was a beautiful gift to Hesed. So can we stand together as we end our time together? I don't want to dispel the fact that if you need ministry this morning, if you feel like God is stirring your heart, you would like prayer ministry, we'd like to pray for you after the service. But I want to bless you this morning. As we were in the back room praying this morning, someone had a word for Mo, and they said, you're like a waitress. And I know Mo, and didn't you do waitressing?
No.
No? Maybe she didn't. I thought maybe she was way back in the day. So forgive me. But maybe that was prophetic too, that I thought that, because immediately I thought of the ways that we've been talking about the banqueting table, that the Lord has prepared a table for us with every good provision. And sometimes what we do is we just take the scraps on the floor. And we think that's all that we get, that somehow God doesn't love us enough. And we miss sight when we're looking at the floor. We miss lifting our gaze and looking at all that he has for us. And it's amazing. He's our emancipator with everything. And as he emancipates us, as he brings us into freedom, he says, look at the table that I have provided for you. And that's what they're doing at Hesed. They're getting the residents to lift their chin, to say, look at what the Lord has for you. Why would you go to the scraps? And that's just the same message for us as a people, that we need to lift our gaze and be reminded of the lavish love of the Father, and that he brings us to his banqueting table, and that his banner over us is his love. And so I want to leave you with just a saying that may the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and the extravagant affections and the love of the Father stir you toward good deeds. Stir your heart and stir your mind to good deeds that he has set before you to do prior to you even taking breath, and that he would guide and guard you in all your ways. Go in peace. Amen.